You're listening to Hartery Humble.
Welcome, welcome, all you amazing Arkansas Razorback fans out there. Let's just be together right now and just give each other a virtual group hug. Let's huddle up here. We know we need some support right now from each other. It's been a rough couple of days after that Ole Miss loss. You know, times are looking tough, but hey, the beautiful thing about being an Arkansas Razorback fan is that we're all here. We're all going through it. We all feel the same emotions. We all understand. And that's why we're here doing this podcast, episode 6 of Hard to Be Humble. And of course, as always, the humblest man on earth, I am Tommy Stickle. Thanks so much for joining me today. I've got hopefully a great show for you in store. I've got an extended phone call with Chad, and that might be the new format that I start going forward, having a little bit longer phone calls with Chad where we have more and more topics together where we talk. This episode, we're going to have a nice conversation where we touch on some topics and just kind of decompress the Ole Miss game. It was a tough one. It was emotional. At one point, after the Cameron Curl scoop and score, I got super excited, and I was eating. I was emotionally eating at that time. I was eating. I found a box of Triscuits in my cupboard, and I was emotionally eating. And after that play, I threw a Triscuit against the wall. I was so excited. I also did a couple of laps around the room. I get really pumped. I really think I need to get a GoPro and stick it in the corner of my room as I'm watching the games. I'm the type of fan. I'm really not a big fan of watching games in groups of people. I'm engaged. I want to be watching every single play. I want to catch all the details. For some reason, you know, of course I do watch games with other people. I'm not saying I won't, but when I'm at home, it's kind of my space, and it's funny. I'm very introverted, I guess, with my watching of the games. But it was emotional. It was heartbreaking. It was tough. But we're here together, and we will digest it. But first, before we get into Ole Miss, I want to share some good stuff. And there is a really heartwarming story, really heartwarming video circulating out in the internet. It started, I saw it first last Saturday. I'm recording on Monday night. And I think today ESPN actually tweeted it out and brought it to a much broader audience. But Martavius French, one of our more recent commitments to play linebacker for the Razorbacks, did something really special for the absolute best Arkansas fan, Kanan Sandy, over the weekend. Kanan, of course, notoriously goes and travels and goes to games, goes sees recruits, and he really treats them like they're rock stars, because to him they are, and he makes them feel loved, and he loves the Razorbacks more than anybody. And I think we all can admit that. He's the best ambassador we have for our brand, and he's such a special guy. I've never met him. I don't know him, but you can just tell. Such a special guy, so warm-hearted. And if you haven't seen it, go find it. It's out there. You can't miss it without Googling it or something. But basically what happens is after the game, Martavius French, he takes off his glove. He's got Arkansas Razorback, you know, gloves, or kind of like the sticky gloves, you know, I'm sure players wear all the time. And he's signing them, and he's giving them to Kanan. And Kanan is just emotional. He's crying. He's so appreciative of this gesture. The video is just really heartwarming, and you can just tell that, you know, this means the world to Kanan to be getting this gift of these gloves. And I think it's really, really neat that even after that, Martavius tweeted out that, you know, those were his favorite gloves and he wanted Kanan to have them. And I was thinking, like, man, I'm sure that we've got boosters who would give Martavius like 100 pairs of gloves. But then I was thinking, I wonder if about NCAA rules and all that. I guess you can't, like tell, you know, tell people to do that. But I do think it was just such a kind gesture and tells a lot about Martavius's character. And of course, after giving the gift to Kanan, they had a warm embrace, and you know, he says he loves them and all that neat stuff. So. Just a warm, nice moment to kind of offer the counterpoint of the not so exciting moments of the weekend. And, you know, honestly, that's what being a fan is about. It's loving program. It's loving the program and supporting the program. That's what really makes a difference in people's lives. I mean, these games, what do they really matter? It's just a game. In the grand scheme of things, 100 years from now, is anyone going to care about this Ole Miss game? Absolutely not. Not a single soul will care. But what these people do and the way that this sport interacts into our lives and creates bonds with other people and creates opportunities for connection, that's what this is about. And that's one of the main things I want with this podcast. I can sit here and talk all day about Arkansas Razorback sports. Who cares? I mean, clearly some people care a little bit. It's fun to talk and stuff. But ultimately, what's important is connecting with one another and sharing. And sharing neat stories and tidbits about things. And that is always the direction that I want to move this podcast, is getting to know one another, why we're fans, why we love this program, and how we can better relate to one another and enjoy this experience of just being a fan. It's truly remarkable. It brings some of the happiest and some of the least, you know, some of the worst moments in our lives. It's so interesting why we choose to be fans, but we do. We love it too much to not be. It's so interesting how it grasps us, but we can't let go. So thank you, Martavius. You've really given us something special, and I'm so glad that it got circled wide for all the country to see. Oh yeah, and now let's get into a little bit of Razorback X's and O's. Oh yeah, so obviously the loss kind of puts a lot of the goodness kind of with a negative spin on it, but Rakeem Boyd, he wasn't able to get 100 rushing yards, but he still had a decent game. Rakeem had 17 carries for a total net gain of 67 yards. His long was only 10 yards, but he did hurdle a defender, which is always amazing. He also, infamously, I would say at this point, was running some Wildcat, which is neat. Yeah, I love seeing him back there. I don't necessarily love everything about that. I think a lot of fans have a lot of nitpicking to do with it, but as far as Rakeem is concerned, we love that he had the opportunity to run that. He threw a completion, a one-yard completion. Oh, yeah, just a little, you know, I guess they call it a completion. It's one of those where you just barely shovel it forward to a person running by, but hey, it's still a completion. So Rakeem Boyd officially has passing yardage as an NCAA player, and he also caught a ball for 8 yards. So ultimately, Portland State game was a little bit better. He had a touchdown there, more yardage, but Rakeem, we still love you, and we know you've got so much more left in the tank for us. Now, very interesting, our other Razorback that we're following and that we love, Matteo Soli, he started this game, and I told you, Matteo is going to have the opportunity to really step up and get significant snaps, and sure enough, second game of the year, he's already doing it, and hopefully you were able to find him in the crowd by his club on his right hand, I believe. It wasn't that big of a club, to be honest. It was pretty small, but he played a lot, and it was really fun to watch. He was able to get two tackles, one assisted tackle, so he's kind of got a total of 3 tackles for the game. He also had a quarterback hurry on his stat line. So, again, he's a freshman, but he's continually going to get better and better and better. And again, this week on the depth chart's already been released, he's again going to start. So I'm excited to see what he's got in the tank for Colorado State. And now let's transition into the phone call that I had with Chad and get into all kinds of decompression of the Ole Miss game. We got some good stuff for you. Hope you enjoy.
Hey, Tommy.
Chad, how's it going, man?
Great. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing good. I got me a big old cup of sweet tea here. Actually, it's not sweet. I don't know why I said that. It's unsweet tea.
What? What? Brewed at home?
Yeah. Brewed at home. Yeah, I...
What? Why are you drinking tea without sugar?
It's a new thing. I can't explain it other than it's guilt-free for me. I still get the caffeine, but no sugar. And it's, I don't know, it gets me excited.
Oh, gross. I don't know if I've ever had tea without the sweetened. What's wrong with you?
It's a weird
thing. Are you from Ohio?
It's a very new thing for me, but I'm liking it for the moment.
I'm disappointed.
Well, hey, welcome to Hard to Be Humble. Glad to have you today.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, we had, you know, a very lackluster performance on Saturday. I'm sure we'll be getting into that. But hey, I wanted to open it up to you here to start out. What you thinking? How you feeling? What's going on, man? What's in your head?
My head, underwhelmed, disappointed, disgusted at times, a little bit hopeful. It was a roller coaster. I think everybody felt that. We all felt like the first half was gross, it was disgusting. It was more of the same. Like, I guess we had more vanilla, different varieties of the offense. It was just, I don't know. When Starkle gets in and we get excited for a little bit and we get a lot of bad play calling and I don't know. I just don't think Chad's cut out for it. So, I mean, I expected Arkansas to lose against Ole Miss. I mean, I didn't want it to happen, but defense was exciting, but they can't do it all on their own. So I don't know. It's just I'm not surprised, but I'm just tired of being mediocre, and I don't see it stopping.
I understand that. So let me ask you a kind of an easy question. Hopefully it's easy. So if you could only describe Arkansas's performance in one word on Saturday, what's the one word you would pick?
Blah. My one word is blah, Tommy.
Blah.
Blah.
That's a good word.
And let me explain why I picked blah. It's because there's more. I mean, last year we had the QB controversy. I hope that's over with now. But why are we doing this 2 years in a row? It's like, who's our quarterback? We don't know. We get like excited about a few things. We have to really intentionally look for something to get excited about. Like we're like making things up to get excited about because there's just nothing there.
Yes.
And I feel like everyone has their own thing that they're kind of trying to be like, oh, well, did you see like, you know, how many receivers we had up, you know, just things that don't even make sense anymore. Like I don't know. There's just nothing. There's nothing for me to get excited about at all. Starkle was fun, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Blah is a good word, and I probably wouldn't pick that word. I would probably pick a more harsh word than blah. Blah is, but to be honest, it kind of it makes me think of the Bible verse, you know, where it's like they want to spit out the lukewarm thing. That's the worst thing. It's almost like sometimes blah is the worst thing you can be. Better than being like, you know, terrible. It's almost better to be terrible because you can at least move on from terrible. But blah is one of the things you can't move on from so fast. Yeah, you can tell that. I know you're on Twitter like me, and you can tell that a lot of fans had very interesting responses because of the performance. I feel like, and maybe you would disagree, but I still feel like the majority of people on Twitter are pretty negative overall about how it made them feel. And of course, people would after a loss, but we all know that this game had a lot riding on it. It was a very important game. It's really going to define the trajectory for both Ole Miss and Arkansas the rest of their season. You know, it's both teams knew that this game was basically bowl game or bust, essentially, for both programs. Both know that they're not going to be more than 6 or 7 at tops win this year. And the winner was going to be propelled to that, and the loser was really going to be having a struggling year. And Ole Miss absolutely dominated us. That's the word I would use. I mean, we kind of held in there a little bit, but ultimately at the end of the day, when you look at the whole performance, we got dominated. And seeing all of the excuses and different things that people are saying for this, that, and the other kind of drives me a little bit up the wall a little bit. It's just kind of slowly irritating. I'm kind of really past, and I've been one to give excuses too in the past. I gave a lot of excuses for Brett Bielema. I did. And obviously that was all wrong. And to me, this game was really a defining game. It really showed us what Morris had. You know, he talked all about last week about vanilla offense. Let's save our good stuff for this week. You know, that was the message. And he said that. I'm not putting words in his mouth. That came out of his mouth. He put the pressure on himself there. And what did we get in that game that showed anything special? Like one thing. Name one. You can't find one.
We got a 12-year-old offense that we ran with a very unique set of running backs that we don't have the skill set, but we ran that very poorly.
Yes.
I think fans are just confused right now. We haven't been in this kind of state before of just like we've been mediocre for a long time, right? And we've even had a little bit of greatness with Bobby P. I don't want to bring that up, but now we've sunk to like this bottom of the SEC, and we've been there, and we don't know really what to do. Like at least when we were Houston Nutt, we had like mediocre, and we had like some. He went to the SEC championship, but like we always had hope. It's like, you know, he's just like one great player, like a Darren McFadden. You know, we're just one, a couple of great players away from being great. You know, we were good. We just never were. Like we can get there. Like there's, we've been down. Like we've lost so many SEC games over the past 4 years. It's just like we just don't know what to say anymore. And so instead of saying, well, because the old saying used to be, well, there's always next year, right? Like we got this guy coming in, whatever else. Well, we don't have next year. We know next year is still 500 maybe. So everyone's reaching. They're just confused.
That's a great point. I remember, like, to me, the defining word for Houston Nutt era was inconsistency. But the good thing about inconsistency is you could go up against any team on your schedule, whether it be number one LSU in the country, and Hog fans are kind of sitting there thinking, yeah, we've won, like, only a couple games this year. We're not a good team, but we could still beat them because Houston Nutt would pull those performances out of nowhere. And then he would follow that up with like a terrible loss to a very mediocre team. That was Houston Nutt, but we would at least go into every game thinking we could pull this out. Houston Nutt might just do it. And Bobby Petrino obviously was kind of the opposite of inconsistent. He was very consistent with winning, which was awesome. And then Brett Bielema, he was consistently, we at least had an identity with Brett Bielema. Everybody knew what to expect. We were going to go slow and we were going to ground and pound. And ultimately, he got too cocky and let his ego get in the way, and that was his demise. But right now, you're exactly right. We have no clue what to expect other than it's probably not going to be good. In fact, that is what you can expect. We're bad. That's terrible.
Yeah, someone said that in the parking lot of the SEC championship game, Tennessee and Arkansas just need to go at it and see who the bottom is, like who gets that crown.
I think
Tennessee beats Arkansas, honestly.
Gosh, probably. Yeah, who knows? I want to give you a challenge here, and I think it's going to be a good one. I hope you brought some energy and some fire to this
always have that
here. All right, I want you to pretend with me, go to an imaginary place. And
got it.
I want you to envision Chad Morris sitting right in front of you. And this is going to be a Chad to Chad moment, okay? Y'all share the same first name, so y'all have a bond, I know. You're going to share a moment. And I want you to, in a Shia LaBeouf, just do it speech style, I want you to give a speech to Coach Morris right now. And tell him what he needs to hear.
Okay. imaginary place. Immediately what I thought of is I'm out in the woods. I don't know why I'm out in the woods. That's comfortable for me. But, I mean, Northwest Arkansas, it kind of fits in. Like immediately you said imaginary place, I thought I'm out in the woods.
Nice.
That's where I'm at. Chad Morris is here. We're sitting around a campfire. Okay, Chad, you and me, Coach Chad, Coach Morris, like we have the first name. I just want to get that out of the way. Usually gets a bad rap as being that bro Chad, like, but you know what? we need to sit down and we need to have a one-on-one here. I do this with my kids sometimes when they get in trouble. We need to have this talk, Chad. First of all, figure out who your quarterback is. I'm pretty sure that you saw this 2 months ago, 3 months ago, Starkle versus Hicks. It had to be blatant, as obvious as it is today. Pick a quarterback. I'm sick of it. Pick them, go with it. Don't worry about feelings. Roll with them. Next, Wild Hog, kill it. Kill the Wild Hog. No more. Never again. I don't care if you run for 80 yards, 90 yards, 95 yards with the Wild Hog. Never run it again. Ever. We buried it. It's gone. No more. We're paying tribute to D-Mac with the jerseys. We bring that wood. I get it. Wild Hog, no tribute to D-Mac. Destroy it. Gone. Next up, I love the new recruits. I hate the game changers, the Diamond Gang. Let's stop with the stupid slogan. Stop it. You get the players in. Come in. Let's play football. Let's stop saying stupid things to the press. Stop looking scared on the sideline. Own it. Be the coach. Be Nick Saban. I want you to go in there, and I want you to get your best players, and I want you to just get them the ball. Get the best players the ball. That's all I'm asking for. That's all. Can you do that, Chad? Can you promise me that you're going to go out there, you're going to get your best players, and you're going to go and score a touchdown and win an SEC game for the love of every Razorback fan in this state? Can you promise me that, Chad? You can? Can you stop using game changers? Can we stop that altogether? Thank you. Thank you, Chad. Let's go win. We'll break, Chad. Let's go, Coach Chad.
That was nice. That almost reminded me. I think y'all kind of share like a spirit animal or something, because you almost remind me of the way Chad Morris peps up people there. I feel like a similarity. Maybe I know you're also at home.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
So I know you're not like wanting to shout. You know, if you were at like really at a place of crazy intensity, I know that would have been more intense. But yeah, that was good. I think that would get him going a little bit. Hopefully he's feeling that.
Well, maybe a 5 out of 10.
I thought it was pretty good, so it got me excited for sure. But I would agree with
zero prep work, so yeah. I don't know how effective that was.
I would agree with everything you said there though, which is good. So let's do this next. During the game and kind of post game, I've been gathering thoughts from people on Twitter. So I want to read out some people's tweets here. And I also got some text messages to the podcast text line, and let's kind of go through them, and you just let me know if you kind of agree with it. I honestly didn't put a lot that I disagreed with it. I just don't want to make people look stupid or bad if they can't sit here and defend themselves. So I was like, most of these I agree with, but anyways, we can kind of respond to it and see if they bring up any good points. All right, so let's see here. Let's start with one that was tweeted out by a SEC Mike is what he goes by on Twitter. He's got a pretty big following on Twitter and has his own podcast. Big guy. Anyways, he wrote, and this was, I believe, this morning, and we're recording on Monday night. So we've had a few days to digest the loss there. So he tweeted out, just finished morning rewatch of Ole Miss beating down Arkansas. No excuse for Razorbacks getting dominated by this Rebels team. Arkansas yo-yoing QBs once again. SEC appears to be too big for Chad Morris.
Ooh, I agree. I mean, give me one piece of evidence saying that Chad is ready for the SEC. Outside of he got a good recruiting class this year. Only positive. Give me any kind of evidence that he is ready for this stage.
You can't. I mean, that's
nothing.
Yeah, you can't. He checks the box on paper. That's what he does. He should have a great offense. Check. He should be an innovative guru mind. Check. He's from Texas and is known throughout the state and has a lot of respect. So he should be able to recruit Texas really well, which we all know we want to be in and be recruiting well. Check. He checks all the boxes, but then when you actually get the package, he's done nothing. He's done nothing to show us other than, I mean, we want to say he had a good recruiting class, and he did. He had one, his first, you know, whatever, the first class he had when he was here. He got Rakeem Boyd in that, you know, he convinced him to come here. But, you know, it wasn't that, you know, he didn't have time to develop a great class. But the one that this most current class, most people say is one of the best ones we've ever had, and that's true. But realistically, it's not the kind of impact, let's say, that Hugh Freeze made at Ole Miss. When Hugh Freeze came to Ole Miss, they propelled to the top five recruiting classes in the country a couple of times. I mean, you could say that they were cheating, and they did. I don't know. They got busted, whatever, and I'm glad we don't cheat, but it's not like, you know, whatever little extra services they were getting under the table really turned the needle for those recruits. He was a good recruiter. That's what a great recruiter does. He gets the Robert Keem Dichies to come to Ole Miss out of nowhere, and the Laramie Tunsils, and the wide receiver that I can't think of his name. He gets, you know, three of the top 20 players in the country to come. Our class was good for our standards, but him being a great recruiter, he is a good recruiter, but he's not the best recruiter or a great recruiter. Hugh Freeze out-recruited him, you know? So that excuse, it kind of holds water, but it kind of doesn't to me.
As bad as Ole Miss played, I mean, as bad as we played, after the scoop and score that we had a shot to be in the game.
Absolutely.
I mean, they went down, which was kind of crazy, and I think that tells you how not very good Ole Miss is. But at the same time, I mean, yeah, it did feel kind of like a beatdown. We did get dominated. But at the same time, we had, I mean, what, 10-3 at halftime?
Yep.
Right? So it was like, it kind of got out of hand at the end. But they were very much in the game for the majority of it. And it's just, he didn't have an answer when it counted. And I guess that's the frustrating part.
Well said. You know, there are coaches, you sometimes hear assistant coaches or, you know, graduate assistant talk about the head coaches that they work for. And oftentimes they say, "Ooh, I really respect that head coach because anytime there was a question, he had an answer." You hear that about really good coaches, you know, and not that we've point blanked as coaches or know this for a fact, but it definitely does not appear that he has the answers ever. He does not exude that confidence to fans. I doubt he does to players, to anyone really, because it seems like what we get or what we hear is, well, this play would have or could have gone for a, you know, we could have scored a touchdown, you know, like on the crazy trick play that we tried to run, where apparently from the postgame pressers, we know that Nick Starkle threw it to the left when all spring all fall we were throwing it to the right, and CJ O'Grady was, you know, free down the middle for a touchdown. Well, it ain't about calling the right play. That's just one component of being a coach, you know. The biggest component of being a coach is coaching and getting your players ready to play. And sometimes the more complicated you make it doesn't make it better.
Mm-hmm. And even in you coach your players to adjust, and even when you make a bad decision, you still find a way to execute. Yeah, I agree. In the end, let's unpack. But yeah, I agree with little SEC. His name Mike. Is that what it is?
Yeah, SEC Mike. You got
thumbs
it.
Thumbs up, Mike.
And let's see next. So this is Mr. Woo Pig. Definitely a popular Arkansas account. Woo is WU-Pig, and this person also includes 3 exclamation points. So Mr. Woo Pig. So I guess we can call it a him. Or, you know, this is a him because it's Mister. And he wrote, "Has anyone seen Chad do any actual coaching on the sidelines? ?" Dude looks lost.
I see a lot of pacing. I see a lot of head bobbing. And I see him playing with his headset a lot. You know, when you're playing like Xbox and you're like kind of blaming on your controller. It's like, something's not right here. He's confused. It's uncomfortable to watch. Not composed. Right. No composure.
Yes.
So I agree with that.
I do too. All right. Next.
D minus composure. Sorry.
All right. Next tweet. This is from WooPig Dustino. And he is at Dustino the Great. And this is another Arkansas kind of pretty big, you know, in the fan base. And I think this is really well said. This was a nicely composed tweet. This offense has beautiful rhythm with Starkle at the helm. That's the positive to take out of this game. He's the, quote, it factor we've needed at QB. This young team is his now. Time to grow around him for the rest of the season and see what happens. Woo pig.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, beautiful rhythm may be a stretch. I think that's all relative given what we've seen. It took him a while to score a touchdown. As exciting as his drives were, they still came up short. You know, like he still didn't get in the end zone. He definitely has more of a spark than what we had before. There's more potential there. We've got some growing to do with Starkle. Like, it's not going to be just, you know, magic right away. But it's something to look forward to.
If I had to project or like anticipate how I see games playing out with him, he seems like the kind of guy who's going to have really nice rhythm and nice drives and nice plays, and we're going to be excited. And then he's also going to do what he did against Portland State and throw a really bad pick right in the middle of the defense. He just seems like that kind of
at a really bad time.
That risk, you know, that risk. It's like a high risk, high reward type of guy. So.
Yeah, you think about the timing of that, too. We had just gotten with an interception, and it's like right before half. Like, this is a big one. Like, all right, here we go. And like, here's the time not to throw an interception.
Exactly.
So it's going to be frustrating, but there's going to be some exciting times. I agree with that.
And so to those people, well, I think I mentioned this last week, but during games and stuff, I stay on a text thread with Chad, and we're texting back and forth with some other of our friends. And, you know, I was called out as a flip-flopper for a few different things. And it's because, you know, everybody got excited when Starkle came into the game and started doing good. And I'm like, I'm anointing him the guy at this point, but I'm still hesitant. And they're like, you're a flip-flopper. Okay, fine. Maybe I am. But
no,
I just remember last season with
Ty's
story.
Get the story clear.
Oh, you go ahead, Chad.
Hold on now. You said, I'm not saying he's the guy yet. I'm not saying he's the starter yet. You were excited. You said, this offense feels more exciting. You agreed with me. And then you stopped and said, I'm not saying he's the guy just yet. And that's when we started flip-flopping. And then you said,
gotcha.
Yeah, I'm all in.
Gotcha. Yeah. There was a lot riding on this game. I'll put it that way. The reason I'm hesitant.
It was an emotional game.
It was an emotional game. The reason I'm hesitant is because I just remember last year Ty Story coming in against the first team we played. I don't even remember what team it was now. I probably should, but I don't. But if you remember, Cole Kelly started that game and was just a complete – I think he threw two interceptions. He was terrible. Ty Story comes in and he throws two or three touchdown passes. And then I remember coming out of that game and we're all like, we found our guy. Do you remember this, Chad? I remember it so
well. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We were like, Ty Story's our guy. Woo! Let's go. And then it was just it was just a problem after problem. It just went back and forth. So that's what I hope does not happen. Like, the only reason I want to see Starkle pulled, and I might eat these words later. I really might. But the only reason I want to see Starkle pulled, I don't care if he throws six interceptions the next game. That would be crazy. But I'm sure he would get pulled. But I think you just got to ride with him until he gets hurt. I really think that. I think that for Chad Morris's reputation, everyone thinks he can't manage people anymore because of the way he's doing this. So he's got to just ride the guy. He's got to go with him, and he's got to learn how to coach a guy up to his potential.
Yeah. What did we find out last year with Cole Kelly and Ty Story? Well, they both stink. So it's like, going back and forth just made them stink worse. And so we got to stick with him. No more flip-flopping. There's no benefit. Hicks isn't coming back next year. We're not going to a bowl game this year. So what's the point of keeping Hicks? Right? Like, I don't see it. So,
All right, next tweet. And this is from Andy in Memphis, which I read a text message that he sent last week. He definitely is utilizing the phone number or the text number that y'all can use to text in your thoughts, your concerns, you know, anything you want during the game. Text it all in. You can give a call, leave a voicemail. It's all good. Andy's probably
did
one
he call
of the
you a did he call you a flip-flopper too?
He did not, because I wasn't talking. I just now got a way to actually text back on that, like, to my phone. So before I had to get on my computer, so I finally just downloaded the app like any smart human would do. Anyways, I hadn't had it yet. But so
welcome,
now I
welcome
might,
to 2019, Tommy.
I know. Now I might be able to text back on the thing, but whatever. It's a anyways. So Andy kind of does the text messaging and the Twitter stuff. So this came from Twitter. He said, and I thought this was a pretty good point. He said, Burt beat really good Ole Miss teams. Chad has lost to probably their worst two teams in the last 30 years. I can't fact check the 30-year thing, but does he have a point?
I'll first say this. I mean, the Burt nickname is perfect. Like, he is Burt, right? Like, it was – like, we halfway defended him. Like, all right, come on, it's Brett. Like, come on, it's, you know, everyone else called him Bert, but he earned Bert. So thank you for that. That's perfect. Yeah, he absolutely did. The Henry Heave, I mean, as much as we give Bert, you know, crap for all he did, like, the Henry Heave was awesome.
It was
like,
awesome.
That was a good Ole Miss team. I agree. This Ole Miss team stinks. So we may be their only conference win.
Probably.
A good point. That was a good tweet there.
And okay, this next one is a response, and I like the response to another person's tweet, and it goes back to those excuses that I was talking about that I don't buy into, and I know that will rub some people the wrong way. Because no one likes to be told that they're making an excuse for a person. To them, it feels like a very valid factual point. But
yeah,
when there's just
everyone's wrong sometimes.
There's a balance there, and sometimes it's always good to hear the opposite side just to really fact check yourself. So I'm not going to name this person who said this, but some person said 90%, which is not true, of the dang team is freshmen and first-year players. You can't expect to win in the SEC with that. It takes a big adjustment period. That is made easier with good coaching, okay? And I'm going to call out the person who responded, which is Woo Pig Suey, and that if you want to go follow Woo Pig Suey, it's at WOOPIGSOOOIE, so three O's in the Suey. Anyways, this person said, are you aware with what Ole Miss played with tonight? That was their response, because I know you've heard this. How many – oh, and Chad Morris definitely threw it out there in SEC Media Days. How many redshirt freshmen or freshmen do we have on our team right now? Do you know the number? At least the number they're reporting?
52.
Yeah, I think I heard 53, so close enough. I don't – you're somewhere around there, okay? Yeah. Do you know how many Ole Miss had on their roster?
45, yes.
I just saw this. Now, I didn't go through their roster and count it all myself, so I'm relying on stats I saw. So take this with a grain of salt if you don't want to believe it. But somebody said they had 51. So and it makes
not
sense.
Surprised.
It's not crazy to think that that's – I know we think that we just have this young team and we want to rely on that as an excuse, but – we are starting some freshmen, but that's no reason not to beat an equally talented team like Ole Miss is to us. In fact, we should be coming in the more experienced team. We have a fifth-year senior who started the game, who's been in Chad Morris's offense for 3-plus years. He's thrown for over 9,000 yards in his collegiate career, Ben Hicks, against a quarterback Matt Corral, who's a redshirt freshman who's played one game and lost to Memphis the game before. This is his first SEC game too. They have a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator. You can't sit there and tell me that our team is less experienced. We have one of the most tenured defensive coordinators in the SEC running our defense. Like, come on.
Yeah, here are my top excuses that I've heard, I think, for like 3 years, and I'm done with it. One is, this is a young team. Two is, we got to get the system in. The players don't know the system yet. You got to give them a few years. Just like, stop with that. And then three is slipping from me. So young team, new system, I had this in my head just a second ago. But that's, I've had it. I'm sick of that. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm tired of those excuses. Like, we gotta stop saying those things. Although they may be true, you see people come, we inherited bad players, right? So he's young, got a young team, like they got to adjust to the system and all of the players, it just doesn't fit his scheme and he just doesn't have good players in there yet. Like, you see all the time new coaches come in and have a big impact and like are competitive, right? We're not competitive.
No.
And I'm tired of those three excuses.
I agree.
Throw them out.
I agree. And I was going to save this topic for a little bit later to go in depth, and maybe we still will. But I want to bring up Bobby Petrino for just a second, and we'll get into, you know, what he said at Little Rock Touchdown Club earlier today, a little bit later. But what I remember about Bobby Petrino when we were good was that he would mention that they had what he called bread and butter plays, and they were plays that he knew his team could run effectively with their eyes closed. They ran them so much that he had utmost confidence in those bread and butter plays. I think he said there were like 10 or 15 or something like that. It wasn't, maybe it was even less than that. Maybe it was 8. There weren't a lot of plays, but you got to have that. And I could not tell you a single play that would fall in. It seems like every time we run a play, it's something different to me or something really simple. It's either really simple or something just like, what are we doing? Why can't we do anything well consistently? Why don't we feel like there's any identity here?
Yeah. I can't. I mean, a halfback dive. Rakeem Boyd. He gets about 5 yards, and I feel like that's probably more than our average per play. So,
it's
a good point, though.
We don't
have that.
Yeah. So we'll get into more about Bobby Petrino a little bit later. Let's move on to the next tweet. So this one is from Mitch Seaborn, and his Twitter handle is at MNSEBOURN, and his tweet was, "I love the Hogs. Grew up watching this program with my dad. Spent thousands over the years going to Fayetteville, Little Rock, New Orleans, Oxford, Dallas, etc. to watch them and call them. There is no excuse for this product at all. Pride in this program says this is not okay."
Yeah, I agree.
Too extreme? How do you feel?
I think that just adds to the, we've been terrible for a long time. We're just sick of it. We just don't know what to do. I mean, there's zero hope that we're going to win a conference game this year. So, I don't think he's too extreme or off his rocker at all. Like, I can understand. It's like, this guy's spiraling. He's hit rock bottom. But that's justified.
And I agree, and I know we've pretty much just trashed this show, and you know, you hate being those negative people like that, but this game was very telling, and we're not saying we're not going to love the Hogs, we're not going to watch the Hogs, we're not going to watch every game this year, because I guarantee Chad and I are, and we're going to hope that they get better, but I think what we're saying right now is more about the confidence. I'm with you, Chad, I have zero confidence, and I would say zero, that we're going to win a conference game this year because of what we've seen. Could it happen? Sure, we could get a lot better. It's possible. You can turn it around, but confidence level is at an all-time low for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, but at least we have some non-conference games that, please, hopefully we don't do anything stupid and mess up these in, but hopefully it'll get some confidence behind Starkle. I think that's the bright side, is like, let's get these freshmen some confidence boosters, let's get them some big plays. We haven't seen big plays really yet, so let's get a blowout win. I think that would be so healing for the state. Just like, let's just destroy Colorado State so we'll see.
At this point, I would think that if we could really handily beat Colorado State this week, I think that would do some healing. I agree, of like the other teams between San Jose State and Western Kentucky that we have later. It probably would be nice to beat Ty Story if he's the quarterback for Western Kentucky, but still, I think if we can kind of remedy that Colorado State debacle last year, that will go a long ways. But on the flip side, if we lose again to Colorado State, I honestly, I don't know. I can't imagine that. Like, my mind can't go there. I don't know what will happen. I don't think we will have ever I mean, we might already be at the lowest that I can ever remember, but for sure, if we lose to Colorado State at home, that's going to be a bad day.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that it's impossible that we'll lose. Like, I mean, it's a real possibility to me. At the same time, like, I just don't know what to expect again. So, I mean, we'll see. Like,
we'll see.
They should go in and handle Colorado State, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So.
Exactly. Well, we have one more text to comment on, and it was from Andy in Memphis, and he texted, and I thought this was nice. He said, if you remember the storylines going into the Ole Miss game, one of the storylines was, the saying is, you see the most improvement between games 1 and 2. Remember that storyline that everybody was saying? And he's like, I'm not seeing it. Did you see any improvement from game 1 to game 2?
Man. I mean, the QB play out of Starkle is the obvious one, is we actually put a drive together when we felt good, that we actually had a rhythm, we had big play potential. The defense is solid again. They're causing turnovers. So that's good. I mean, not much. I'm reaching for something. That's a great point.
I will say this. I think it's pretty evident now, and I don't think I've ever actually even talked to you about this yet, but Cameron Curl, from his safety position, you know, he didn't play that position last year, and he kind of had a mixed bag last year, but he was still a pretty good player, one of our better secondary players. But this year, you know, he had the forced fumble, the scoop and score. He was, I think, the SEC Player of the Week in game in week one. I think he was second team. It just got announced this week. He's really, you know, we need to keep tabs on Cameron Curl this year. He's really kind of developing into possibly one of our best secondary players we've had in a long, long time. So that's kind of neat to see that development. I don't know. That was kind of about all I had. You know, again. We had they put, and this is Chad Morris's fault, he put too much pressure on himself. He didn't say the right words after that close win he just put a lot of pressure on himself and a lot of criticism on himself by not showing much in week two. So anyways, we'll just keep seeing. You know, we're gonna stick with the Hogs, we always do, but yeah, this is not good signs.
No. All not, right. But hey, you got to hit rock bottom before you go up, right?
Sure. Sure.
Sure.
We'll say sure. All right. Well, so let's talk a little bit about Bobby Petrino, who's making some buzz today. So I thought it was really funny, you know, going through my Twitter feed where I saw that, you know, pretty much simultaneously, some media members were tweeting Bobby Petrino quotes right during the middle of Chad Morris, his press conference. So it seemed like they were speaking at the same time. It was just kind of funny seeing the difference. But did you read many of the quotes from what Bobby Petrino said? Did it stir up any feelings inside of you?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. He apologized. It's just same time, like it was nice to see Bobby back in Little Rock, and it's just like, hey, let's do this again, right? Like, it's just the timing of it's very convenient, right? Where you hit our lowest of low, and then our only taste of success that we've had in a long time that feels like forever ago is right here in our own state, talking to our fans, calling the Hogs, and it's like, oh, this sounds like this could work out. But no, I mean, that's what he did was terrible. So, I think that's all I have to say.
Do you, I mean, we're fans here. Like, he was talking to us, you know, I want you to take this personally, Chad. He was talking to you today and he apologized to your face. Do you forgive him?
Oh yeah. 100%.
Ooh,
I do.
Okay. So you don't think he had any ill intention with his apology? Like, he knew what he was doing. He didn't take a fee. Apparently, they didn't pay him for this. So he just came, you know, to just say how thankful he was for his opportunity and apologize. Do you think that is genuine? Do you trust his character enough to take that as a genuine apology? Or do you think that he's, you know, bucking for the next Arkansas opening?
He's there's definitely some kind of calculated move there, but I mean, I take him for his word. I mean, I feel like he wouldn't say anything he didn't mean to at the same time, although he is probably trying to get something out of it. But yeah, I don't feel like anyone could force Bobby to, as stubborn as he is, to say something that he doesn't want to say or be. So that's what I'll walk away from it with.
So if Chad Morris announced, you know, let's say tomorrow that Bobby Petrino is signed a little contract and he's going to be an offensive analyst, you know, that's kind of the new thing, or a newer thing I feel like the SEC teams are doing. They're getting actually really, you know, fairly decent former coaches to like be quote unquote analysts, which who knows what that means. I guess they just watch the game and tell them what they see. I don't know. But if he did that with Bobby Petrino and you knew that Bobby Petrino had some kind of something in the football program, you know, he's not coaching, he's just giving advice. How much more confidence would that give you as a fan that we actually might win a little bit more?
Oh, 50% lifts. I mean, would I buy, if you're asking, would I buy a Bobby Petrino shirt? Like, yeah, I would. I would be all on board. And even, he'd be even more forgiven than he is already today. So if that answers your question, I'd be very excited.
I was going to say, I would feel 10% more confident that we could actually, you know, pick up some wins. Yeah, but I still thought that was pretty significant. But yeah, funny thought. Okay, last thing about Petrino. When you think of the Petrino era, name one, maybe two plays. You know, if it's just one, let me know. But one or two plays that stands out from that era to you.
To the immediately pop my head, because that's a little rock game. But when Kobe took it to the house against LSU, where we ended up locking in the Sugar Bowl, that was awesome. Totally unexpected, right before halftime when Kobe Hamilton just took it to the house. And then unfair to Ryan Mallett, but his interception he threw against Ohio State, we had it. Like, come on. Like, like, and also the scoop and score that should have happened from the punt. Yeah. And then Mallett throws the interception after. So a little bit of happy, a little bit of sad in there. But those are the two plays that stick out. Well, no, backpedal a little bit as well. Ryan Mallett against Georgia, the bomb there at the end to win the game.
That's
was awesome.
The play that comes to my mind. When I think of Bobby Petrino, that's the play that comes to mind. And it's because
so awesome.
That was the moment that there was no denying this guy had it to me. Like,
this
guy was special. And, you know, I remember after that's where they got that bread and butter thing. Those were their bread and butter plays that he had. It was his second year. And that when we won at Georgia in Athens, that's when I knew when Greg, I think it was Greg Childs who kind of caught that pass and then kind of almost like I felt like he swam past a defender and got by him and then ran it in. That's when I knew we had a special coach. And we just have had absolutely nothing even remotely close to that yet with Chad Morris, unfortunately. Hopefully we do. Hopefully we get that moment where it's like, this dude is going to call the play to win the game, and I know he's going to do it. But it feels very far from there. Well, that was kind of fun, you know, reliving the good old days, as we say. And then, you know, I do think it's unfair to not blame him very heavily for his mistake, too. I feel like some people, like, totally forgive him of that, and you know, he totally screwed us up for a long, long time for what he did. So, anyways, let's move now to the recurring segment that I always do with you and talk a little bit about your point spreads. And
all right,
we'll kind of review your performance from last week. It was an improvement, which I'm thankful and happy to see. You know, I know your week one performance was lackluster, and week two did improve. You had one push. So your in Vegas's point spread was exactly, you know, the equidistant apart from what it actually was. You had one where you actually beat them, which is nice, and you had three that you lost. But you know, your West Virginia Mizzou was, I mean, it was probably going to be your biggest failure of the year, but that's okay because you went with your heart and your gut and not your head, and that's what this is about. It's to have fun.
Oh, man.
We know you're not actually betting money on this. I mean, maybe you are. I don't know.
No.
But it's all for your gut. It's a judgment of Chad's gut.
Absolutely. And you know what? Clemson had it. they got scored on with 5 seconds left. Like, I feel like I should get some kind of asterisk for that. Like, we had it.
No,
like,
asterisks here, buddy.
Okay, touche.
All right. Hey, well, let's get into the five games that I chose this week. And I might be kind of, we'll see how it goes, but I might have kind of my rhythm for picking these games. I don't know why they stand out to me. I guarantee these games would not be picked by like national media people doing a podcast, because I don't think these games are super interesting to a lot, but I think they're fun. So I'm going to throw them out to you, and I actually think they give you kind of a nice opportunity to kind of, I guess, beat Vegas maybe is the best way to phrase it. So we're going to kick it off. With our good old friends, Arkansas State.
Oh,
okay. Arkansas State at UGA at Georgia, who is currently ranked number 3 in the country. The game is Saturday. Early kickoff, it's at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So Arkansas State, well, do the math, Arkansas State's in Central. They're going to be kicking off at 10, their bodies. And let's see here. Yeah, I don't know what else I can say. I guess that's it. Any questions?
Okay. No, I think you covered it. Let me get Georgia. Shocker. Georgia minus 31. Georgia minus 31.
Georgia minus 31. Very close to Vegas. Currently sitting at Georgia minus 33. So you'll be rooting for Arkansas State to keep it a little close, and you can beat them. So,
okay. Man, that was really close. Look at me.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty impressive. Currently, the ESPN football predictor thing, whatever, says UGA has a 96.3% chance to win. So, there you go.
That's
actually a little
better
bit
than
lower.
Arkansas
actually a little bit lower than I was expecting. I don't know. So, let's go to the next game.
Okay.
This one should be fun. Chattanooga at Tennessee, interstate rivalry at this point.
Jeez.
Saturday, also 11 o'clock game, and yeah, that's all you get.
This is gonna be an unpopular take, and this is pure gut. It's from my heart, and I know these are your favorite picks. I'm gonna say Tennessee minus 24. I just blow it open. They blow it open, Tom.
Very good. I'm writing it down so that I have record of it and don't forget. Tennessee minus 24. Again, you're getting more in line with Vegas, because they have Tennessee minus 28. So again, you're going to be rooting for Chattanooga to keep it a little bit closer.
I figured Vegas would have that a lot closer, just given.
Yeah, you'd think. I don't know.
Okay.
I think of, I don't even remember what year it was, but have you seen like the little video or clip of Dan Mullen when he was at Mississippi State and he's got a cigar in his mouth and they ask him about the next team he's playing? He goes, UT Chattanooga. That's what I can't think, you know, I can't think of Chattanooga without that little Dan Mullen blurb. So funny, so good. All right. Now this one truly is just, this one's just pure fun for Arkansas fans. Portland State. Okay. Ugh. At Boise State, who's currently ranked number 22. This game is Saturday at 9:15 at night.
Boise State minus 40. Let me tell you why. You want to know why?
Yes.
Because Portland State is garbage. Who did they play last week? You get the info on that?
They played, I think a team called Simon Farrell. Like, literally,
let me guess,
they are
lost?
So small that they didn't even have an icon for like what their school was. I don't know where.
Did they win
what.
Or
they did? It was a fairly, I think, like, I could be wrong, but it was like 14-40 or something, like, you know, it was a convincing win. But I didn't even know what team it was, because it was a blank icon.
They're going to get embarrassed the way that Arkansas should have embarrassed them. They're not a good football team. They're not good. Boise State, I don't really know much about, but they're going to blow them out.
They're ranked. And, you know, Boise State has the ridiculous I don't know how they can get away with the stadium they have where everything's blue like that.
Stupid.
That feels, I mean,
I don't even want to watch
offensive.
It. I don't even want to watch
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I see clips from it, and I'm like, this is offensive. I'm sure that they love it, whatever. whatever. But okay, so this one you got a little bit more extreme than Vegas, which is always great. They have Boise State minus 31.5. So
okay,
you know,
I feel good about that.
Yeah, I think you should. All right. So this one's just kind of weird.
I think you should.
I do. I don't think Portland State's very good either. Okay, this one's just kind of a weird pick. I don't know. Iowa at Iowa State. Interstate rivalry. There was one other rival, like interstate rivalry. Pitt is playing Penn State. I don't know. For some reason, this one just sounded more exciting to me. Iowa State has LaMichael Petway, which mm-hmm. I think is kind of a little... That's probably why I picked it, just simply because of that. But Iowa's currently ranked 19, and the game's Saturday at 3 o'clock.
Iowa State not ranked?
No.
Okay, so it's at Iowa State, is that right?
Correct. Mm.
Because, you know, I'm not doing this out of spite. I mean, I guess I am a little bit, but give me Iowa. Iowa by minus 17. Take that, LaMichael, that way.
LaMichael, why'd you transfer? This is your biggest differential so far from Vegas. They have Iowa minus 1. So I guess this is a heated rivalry in that great state of Iowa. Currently, the ESPN football predictor thing says Iowa has a 57.7% chance of winning. So
great chance.
We'll see. You've got a good chance.
17.
Yeah. All right, final game, and I think that this one actually might be a good game. There honestly isn't very many great games this week, just laying that out there. Maybe some would disagree with that, but I didn't think there was that many good ones, so it's kind of a down week. But we're going with probably the biggest game in the SEC, Florida at Kentucky. Florida's ranked number 9 right now. The game is Saturday at 6 p.m., and I don't know if Florida. I should share, but there has been some breaking news about one of these teams today. Have you heard it? And if you did, should I tell you about it?
No, I don't want to know.
Okay.
I haven't heard it. Florida minus 10. Feel good about it.
You should feel good about it. Because Vegas is right in line with that. Florida minus 8.5.
Oof.
Okay, the news, just maybe I shouldn't even tell you. Maybe you should just go look it up yourself.
Who needs computers and algorithms and all that good stuff? Like,
you honestly did. Like, you were right on par. And I know, okay, you got to be honest here. Are you looking at lines? Are you actually paying attention to this? Are you cheating at all? Or are you really just, I know you see the Arkansas line, but I just know
I
you and
Arkansas
I trust
line.
You that you aren't, you're being honest. You're kind of, you're a very honest person.
100%. Why would I don't bet. I'm not a betting person. And like, who would have picked these games out? These
exactly. games <you picked. laughs>
So, no, and I don't look. I mean, I don't have time to look at betting lines. I don't have enough money to bet on betting lines.
Fair
I have
point.
Kids.
Very fair point. Well, yeah, you did a great job with getting close to Vegas. So I think when you get really close to Vegas, that gives you the best chance at beating them because it kind of gives you, you know, all you got to do is be on one side of the. You know, one side of the points just barely, and you beat them. So we'll see how it goes. Best of luck to you. May your gut and heart flourish.
I'm just going to keep going up from here. Like, I feel I'm at least getting 3 of those. So it's going to be hard to top next week. But I'm kind of setting myself up for failure. But it's okay.
Nah, no way. All right. So last thing I wanted to touch base on, unless you had something for me. Maybe you got something for me. But last thing I wanted to touch base on was something that totally has gone under my radar up to basically late last week. The Razorbacks have a hockey team. And I am slightly excited about it. And I think I might be the number one. I might want this podcast to be the number one Razorback hockey podcast out there. I don't think it's going to take much work to be number one. In fact, it probably already is since I'm literally mentioned them.
You just got in the ranks.
Boom.
I don't think it would be hard to get some of these players on here to talk about kind of what's going on with their season. I know it's big in the Northeast, in the North as well, like collegiate hockey, But like, it just doesn't, like, no one, hockey's an awesome sport. People would love it. People love college sports. I don't know why it hasn't caught on yet. So, I don't see why it wouldn't. As long as it gets exposure, as long as they get to know a storyline and get to know some of the players. I don't think it'd be hard to get some of them on and kind of hear what's going on. Just kind of what collegiate hockey is all about. Be really interesting.
Yeah.
You look at the conference too. We were looking at the conference, what all teams are in. It's huge. It's like, it's pretty cool. Like, it's exciting.
And it's totally like, we are technically, I think it might have changed, but we're Division III. So I don't think that's good. I know that probably Division I is like the Boston University and those teams up in the Northeast. I'm sure Buffalo is good. I don't have a clue, but we're Division III, and it's SEC. It looks like it's SEC, but I don't think it is. I really don't understand how the conferences align. I know that we're in the same conference as Middle Tennessee State University and Vanderbilt.
Yep.
I can confirm those two teams. And they have the Razorbacks will be coming to Ford Ice Center here in the Nashville area at the end of the month. And
Nashville.
I am, fingers crossed, going to try to go over there and just – I don't even know if games cost money. I assume so. But I might take one of my kids over there and just see if there's anybody in Hogs gear rooting for the Razorbacks. So we'll see.
That'd be really cool. I know they play here in Springdale at the Jones Center. That's another thing too. It's not even on campus. It's in Springdale, but I think students are free to get in, and I think it's $5 for general admission at the Jones Center. So
Chad, you know, do me a favor. I know you're in Northwest Arkansas. For those that aren't familiar, as familiar with the area, what's the distance between, like, you know, campus and where they play their home games? Because I'm not honestly sure.
Gotcha. It's probably a good, 20-minute drive.
20 minutes.
From Fayetteville to, depending on where you're at, to the Jones Center in Springdale. Springdale, the home of Tyson Food. So you got Fayetteville all the way down south. You got Springdale a little bit farther north. Then you have Rogers a little bit farther north of that. Then you got Bentonville on top of that. And so from where I'm at, it's probably a 20, 25-minute drive from where I'm at. So, like, it's kind of in between. So I'm going to go check it out. I mean, for $5 and kids are free. So it's like you got nothing else to do. I'm sure it'd be fun. Like,
yeah.
I took my kids to hockey games and they loved it. And they love the Hogs and they love hockey. So I may have to check it out too.
Yeah, Chad lived here in the Middle Tennessee area, you know, near Nashville, like where I currently live. And I'm telling you, I know growing up in Arkansas, literally I thought hockey was the weirdest sport out there. People that liked hockey were total weirdos. But when you kind of allow yourself to actually appreciate it and just put that aside for a little bit, go to a game, take a trip to Nashville, or if Dallas is closer, go see the Dallas Stars. But I would recommend the Nashville Predators, because the Predators are a really fun team to root for, and you'll have a great time. But the Predators have developed a culture of acceptance. Like, I feel like hockey has that very, almost kind of like baseball, but it's like, if you don't know, then you're in the out, and don't even try to be in the in. Nashville's the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Nashville's like, come, do our chance with us. Just dance, listen to the light. It's just a full fun environment. And I'm telling you, I would never have thought that I'd be a hockey fan later, but there's something special about hockey. The athletes, the culture of hockey is a neat culture, and I've really grown to respect it and love that sport.
It's controlled chaos, and you can't take the same approach that you're watching a football game. Because it's just like, why are they turning the ball over so much or the puck over so much? Like, this is exhausting. Like, they don't even look like they're running plays. They're just hoping the puck gets in the right spot at the right time, which they are. But at the same time, like, they're you know, getting in those high possibility areas, and they're like running. They are running plays, and it's like, okay, you got to dump the puck off and try to get. It's fascinating. It's so much more complex than what you think it is from the surface. I'm like, there's a bunch of guys skating around, throwing a puck around, you know, like hoping it goes in.
Totally agree. Okay, well, hey, we might talk a little bit. I know no offense to the Razorback team and the coaches, but I know that's not a huge fan base there, but we might sprinkle in a little Razorback hockey news every once in a while.
So, love it.
Yeah, we'll just see if we can go there. So,
I mean, with 2-0 start, we 2-0 so far?
Sounds good. I don't know.
I think we're 2-0, right? We beat Dallas Baptist.
I think
Baptist
we beat,
twice,
yeah, maybe. Some random, yeah, Dallas Baptist. Yeah, that sounds right. I think I saw that. I have a lot of catching up to do for sure, but.
Number one podcast for Arkansas hockey.
That's right. Sorry. That is right. Well, Chad, did you have any parting words? Anything about the Colorado State game coming up? Anything about, Matteo Soli or Rakeem Boyd, the number one players that this podcast love? Anything you wanted to end on today?
I just want a W. I think I speak for the rest of the state. Let's just go out there and win. I'm keeping it simple. I'm keeping it simple this week. Let's walk away. Let's get a W. Let's feel good. Let's feel good after a W, dude. Not after Portland State and W. Let's feel good about it.
Let's sing. It's hard to be humble. Let's have the student section going nuts. I'm with you. Well, thanks so much, Chad. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today. And we'll talk to you later. Woo pig.
Woo pig.
And with our last segment of the week, as we always do, I want to end the show with the famous Arkansan of the week. I've got another kind of off-the-wall thing, but this place that I've chosen this week will for sure be the oldest thing that I've chosen before. And I'm actually going with Hawksbill Crag, also known as Whitaker Point. And I've actually never gotten the chance to visit this myself, but it's one of the most iconic and beautiful natural places in the whole state of Arkansas. And it's about probably a little bit, just north of an hour away from Fayetteville. It's in the Ozark Forest, and it's very popular place to hike and get amazing pictures from. Just Google it. One neat kind of little interesting tidbit about Hawksbill Crag is that Disney filmed the opening to the movie Tuck Everlasting here. So if you're familiar, you would know it. But I've seen it in pictures all over the place. It's absolutely beautiful. And I would encourage anyone near there, if you haven't been, just grab some shoes, get in the car, take some time on the weekend. I've heard it can get pretty crowded, but just go. You have no excuse. If you're near the area, go. And if you're visiting Arkansas for like a football game or something like that, take the opportunity to go see this. This area is really neat. There is a bit of a hike to get to the actual jutting out. I guess I'm going to call it a cliff or a bluff, but it's, I think it's a 3-mile round trip hike. There's some waterfalls as well through it. Apparently, the trail can also go through some wet areas, but it's not that difficult of a hike. You can take your kids, and it should be a great opportunity to see one of the most beautiful areas that Arkansas has to offer. It's iconic. Apparently, one of the best times to take a picture with yourself on the crag, kind of jutting out over this huge overlook, is either at sunrise, really early in the morning. Most people don't get out that early, or also mid to late afternoon. So just go. I think that's something that people sometimes just need urging to do. There's these beautiful things right in our backyard. Not mine. I'm in Middle Tennessee. But sometimes you don't appreciate what's nearby and just say, hey, I'll go there sometime. I'm telling every listener here, make an effort. If you haven't been, go see this place, get your picture, and bask in this beautiful glory that the state of Arkansas has. Thank you so much for listening. Please go on Twitter, set up an account if you don't have one, and let Hard to Be Humble Podcast be the first person you follow. Or if you do have a Twitter, please follow Hard to Be Humble at humble_podcast. I really appreciate it. The numbers there just keep on trickling up. And literally every single person that follows me on there, I get excited about it. Y'all can make me happy just by following me. No, it's awesome. And I really enjoy seeing your tweets and interacting with you there. Also, I really want to promote the phone number that I set up through Google Voice, basically, where you can call in, leave a voicemail message with any of your thoughts, opinions, feedback, anything you want heard on the show, anything you want to tell me, it's all good. Call in. That phone number is 615-392-0107. You can also find it in my Twitter bio, but again, it's 615-392-0107. Feel free to call that thing in the heat of the moment when you're super ticked off. That's awesome. I want that stuff. If you have maybe a sweet little clip that you want one of your kids to say Woo Pig Suey or something like that, send that in. Have them call in and do a Woo Pig Suey. I'm good with anything. I'd love that stuff. You can also text it. I've had people doing that already, so you can feel free to text it. I might text you back now that I actually downloaded the app on my phone. We'll see, depending on like the volume and stuff I get with that. But yeah, please do that. I'm also on Instagram as well. Hard to Be Humble podcast there. Started to you know, put some posts out there. Definitely have some room to grow. There's actually a lot about Instagram that I need to kind of learn for myself with the stories and things like that. But anyways, I would appreciate all the support you can give me, of course, in any of your podcasting platforms. Please rate the podcast. I love that. I'd love to read those. Please, of course, subscribe to the podcast if you're liking the content, and just feel free to give me feedback. I'm a person that I can take it, even if it's negative. It's okay. I understand. I'm just me. I'll do my best, but that's what I can guarantee to you, to everyone who's listening here. You're going to get my best, the absolute best I can do. I'm excited to see where the future is going to go with this. So please continue to support it, and I won't let you down. I promise you. So having said that, as is tradition, I do want to leave one final message to all you great fans out there, though. As Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially when you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Thank you all so much, and you have a great week. And let's please, please beat Colorado State.